Hello, and welcome to the December IASB podcast, where we bring you updates from our latest board meeting. I am Neely Shaw, Executive Technical Director at the IASB. And today we have back on our recording Andreas Barco, Chair of the IASB, and Linda Maison-Hutter, Vice Chair of the IASB. Now, Andreas and Linda, we've just finished our December 2024 board meeting, last one of the year, and we discussed three projects. In this episode, we'll cover two of them, and that's the Management Commentary Project and our Business Combinations, Disclosures, Goodwill, and Impairment Project. Also, since it is the last episode in 2024, we thought it might be kind of fun to look back on the year and then also chat about what we can expect for 2025. So let's start with Management Commentary. The IASB has now completed its technical decision-making on the revised Management Commentary Practice Statement. Andreas, can you start us off by sharing more about the context and implications of this project?
Sure. So IFRS standards don't require companies to prepare management commentary. However, many jurisdictions require such a report, be it through legislation or regulation. Our revised practice statement will provide a comprehensive resource for regulators and companies to support improvement and greater alignment in management commentary on similar reports. Given the broad support for the proposals in the exposure draft, the IASB made targeted refinements to support alignment with IFRS sustainability disclosure standards, improve connectivity in companies' reports, and provide a stepping stone to greater integration and reporting in the future. Now, in December, the board agreed to clarify the relationship between an entity's ability to create value for itself and the value it creates for others, and also remove references to enterprise value from the practice statement, which confused some of our stakeholders. The board also agreed clarifications to recognize that governance-related information is provided in the management commentary where material, and clarifications to the role of coherence. The board decided to extend the notion of coherence in a management commentary to require coherence with other components of general purpose financial reports, including sustainability-related financial disclosures, if those disclosures are provided outside the management commentary. So with that, we are now moving into the drafting phase and expect to publish the revised practice statement in the first half of 2025.
Thanks, Andreas. So let's now turn to our second topic, which is, as I mentioned, Business Combinations, Disclosure, Goodwill, and Impairment, or better known as BCDGI. Business combinations are often significant events in the life of a company, as you all well know, and investors need clear and transparent information to assess their potential impact. However, what we've been hearing from our stakeholders is that the current information provided about business combinations is insufficient, and it focuses on an accounting construct rather than the real economics, so it's not always as useful as it could be. So Linda, what are we doing about these concerns?
Well, this is where our BCDGI project comes along and steps in. This project focuses on improving the disclosures that companies make when they acquire other businesses. Our aim is to help investors better understand the strategic rationale behind these acquisitions, how the acquired business is performing, and ultimately, whether the acquirer's management is effectively using its resources. To achieve this, the IASB issued an exposure draft in March of 2024 proposing amendments to two key standards, adding disclosure requirements about business combinations to IFRS 3 business combinations and updating IAS 36 impairment of assets, mostly to clarify or simplify existing requirements. Since July of this year, when the exposure draft comment period was closed, our technical staff have been analyzing the feedback from our stakeholders. In October, the staff provided the board with a very high-level overview of that feedback. And in December, the board continued with a deeper discussion about that feedback. While the board wasn't making any decisions at this meeting, we had a chance to comment on unclear feedback, get new information for consideration, or determine the areas needing further research.
Thanks, Linda. So, Andreas, what were the key issues that our stakeholders raised?
So let's break down the main points from the feedback we received from our stakeholders. First, when it comes to the project objective and scope, most respondents supported the project aim to provide better information on business combinations. So that's an easy tick. Second, there were divergent views on whether to require performance and expected synergy information about the acquisition, particularly between users and preparers. Users find the information useful, but other stakeholders, particularly preparers and auditors, expressed concerns, including those about commercial sensitivity, litigation risk, and auditability. Third, respondents generally supported requiring an entity to disclose information about the performance of a business combination for only a subset of material business combinations. However, many respondents disagreed with the proposed threshold approach to determine that subset. Instead, they suggested a principle-based approach. Fourth, on the management approach, most respondents supported the proposed requirement to disclose information about the performance of a business combination that is reviewed by the entity's key management personnel, with many supporting requiring an entity to disclose that information for as long as management reviews it. Fifth, opinions were mixed, not to say polarized, on disclosing quantitative information about expected synergies in the acquisition year, with some agreeing but most disagreeing with the proposal. And finally, almost all respondents agreed with allowing an exemption from disclosing some of the required information in specific situations, but some suggested broadening the exemption to include more situations where information might be commercially sensitive.
I'd also like to add that the ISB discussed a review of academic literature relevant to the exposure draft proposals to inform its future deliberations. And with respect to those future deliberations, early next year, we will continue discussing the feedback we've heard from our stakeholders, namely remaining aspects of the exposure draft, including amendments to IFRS 3 business combinations, IAS 36 impairment of assets, and IFRS 19 subsidiaries without public accountability, before beginning re-deliberations, so stay tuned.
Thanks, Linda. So like I said, before we sign off for 2024, we thought it might be fun to reflect back on the last 12 months. Linda, how would you characterize this year for the IASB?
Well, as we look back to 2024, I think it's fair to say that we've hit some significant milestones and made great progress. This year has been marked by the issuance of new standards, completion of important consultations, and the commencement of several new projects.
So then, Andreas, maybe if you could add a little bit more color to what Linda just mentioned, what are the key developments for the year?
So we issued two new standards, IFRS 18, presentation and disclosure and financial statements, and IFRS 19, subsidiaries without public accountability disclosures, and both were published in spring. We finalized two post-implementation reviews, one on IFRS 15, revenue from contracts with customers, and the other on IFRS 9, the impairment phase. We completed our research and terminated projects on business combinations under common control and extractive activities. We completed two maintenance projects, being the annual improvements to IFRS accounting standards and the amendments to the classification and measurement of financial instruments, and several IFRS accounting taxonomy projects. We are also publishing in December the final amendments to IFRS 9 and IFRS 7 with regard to contracts referencing nature-dependent electricity, which are often structured as power purchase agreements or PPAs. The IASB acted swiftly in the light of the increased use of these contracts.
We also published several important consultations during the year, including the one we've been talking about, business combinations, disclosures, goodwill, and impairment, and climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements. And now for the headline, the IASB fulfilled its obligations from the third agenda consultation by starting its projects on intangible assets and statement of cash flows. It also started its PAI of IFRS 16 leases and a project on amortized cost.
So in terms of our stakeholder engagement in 2024, our board members and technical staff participated in more than 1,000 external meetings and conferences that attracted approximately 92,000 participants. That's pretty impressive, I must say. The year was also very productive in terms of consultations we held with our stakeholders. We received from you 704 comment letters across 18 projects. We sincerely appreciate everyone's engagement in our discussions and in our consultation documents. We thoroughly analyzed all of your feedback and considered it in our discussions and in making our decisions. We are also excited to announce that before the year is out, we will be publishing a webcast series on connectivity between the financial statements and sustainability-related disclosures. We are also going to have a new dedicated connectivity hub on our website.
It's really quite incredible how much has been accomplished. And to be clear, when I say how much has been accomplished, I'm referring to the entire financial reporting ecosystem with the focus on providing better information for better investment decisions. So it's really all of us together trying to work towards this goal. So that's 2024. If we focus our attention on 2025 now, Andreas, can you start us off with some major developments you expect?
Okay, so I will concentrate on the first quarter then. So the consultations on the equity method exposure draft will close on the 20th of January and on the provisions exposure draft on the 12th March 2025. We will restart our deliberations later in 2025. Please make sure you share your feedback with us in time. In February, we plan to issue the third edition of the IFRS for SMEs accounting standard with an effective date on or after 1st January 2027. And in March, we expect to complete several IFRS accounting taxonomy updates, including one related to contracts referencing nature-dependent electricity and one related to IFRS 18. We also plan to start our fourth agenda consultation.
Thanks, Andreas. And Linda, what about the rest of 2025?
Well, around mid-2025, we plan to publish the exposure draft for dynamic risk management, or as we affectionately refer to it, DRM, and a revised practice statement 1 management commentary. We also plan to start making decisions about project directions for the following projects in the first half of 2025: intangible assets, statement of cash flows and related matters, and amortized cost measurement. Late in the year, we hope to finalize our proposals on climate-related and other uncertainties in the financial statements, as well as other maintenance projects. And looking toward the end of 2025, we plan to issue new accounting standards on regulatory assets and regulatory liabilities.
Thank you, both to Andreas and Linda, and also to all of our listeners for listening to the December 2024 IASB podcast. We look forward to bringing you further updates on important topics in the future. For those of you that are getting some holiday this time of year, we hope you get a restful break, and we wish you the very best for 2025. Thank you and goodbye.